Good morning, Brad. How you doing, man?
What's cracking, Brad?
Excellent. How you guys doing on this fine Wednesday?
Just
fantastic, man.
Another day in paradise.
That's right. Yeah, just, you know, we were just talking before we went to break. Thank goodness 2020 is half over. 2020 can't get out of here fast enough. What say you?
And I've seen the memes and the pictures that, you know, COVID's leading 42-0 at halftime. So,
that ends it.
I'm not sure we can come back from that one. If you get the odds of it, 42-0, I'm not sure. I think the biggest comeback in college football history is like 35 or 38 points.
Yeah, wasn't that Maryland coming back to beat Miami and Frank Reich was the quarterback?
I think that was a 35-point one. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson was like livid afterwards. And then Frank Reich goes on to the playoff game for the Bills with that big comeback over the Oilers. Oh,
the Oilers here with a lot of... But I got a question. By the way, there's a really good website called SaturdayDownSouth.com, which really follows the SEC on a daily basis. They've got writers dedicated to all of the schools. You may want to check that out because, I mean, it is very current news. A lot of it is, you know, they'll make any little thing big. You know, that's what the news do these days. But I never, in the story, do you know who invented the point spread?
Oh, wow. I should know this. It happened because, I should know. I really should
I'll read it to you.
It happened in the 40s.
Yeah, 50s. Charles McNeil, a former math teacher turned bookie, all math teachers turned bookies.
The guy wanted to actually make money for a living.
Invented the point spread in the early 40s. Its purpose was simple. Handicap games that both sides receive an equal volume of bets. The point spread achieved this by enticing gamblers to speculate on the final point differential instead of simply who had won the game. Okay, blah, blah, blah. So you know that, but I had no idea. And the original purpose, giving lowly underdogs a chance to compete in the eye of the gamblers, where if some team was a 20-point underdog, you could still have action on that team, although they probably would not win the game. So there we go. Gambling 101.
Yeah. Nice. And I read also that people in those big point spreads, obviously what was before the point spread was money line in a lot. But people just weren't understanding and grasping, you know, money lines, which is still obviously the way you bet the NHL and the way you bet Major League Baseball. But, you know, those sports, when it comes to popularity on a per-game basis, nowhere near as popular as what the NFL or even the NBA is. So, yeah, the point spread, much more popular than betting the money line. That's why they did it. And goes to that guy. Doesn't get enough credit. Hell, even a guy in the industry doesn't even know his name.
Yeah, and I had never... I don't guess it could just say, well, it's always been there.
right. It's just,
No.
It's one of the things that's always just been there.
Yeah, but
somebody had to invent it, right?
And in that story, too, it had a breakdown of coaches against the spread. And like James Franklin, 58%, Sweeney, 57%, Jimbo, 56%, Saban, 55%. When you look at games, and do you look at the how they cover certain games in the, if it's a 3-7 or a 10-20 or a 20+, how do you look at coaches and their spread history?
Great question. It's a factor. It's not, you know, one of the most important factors, but it certainly is a factor. To me, because there's different point spreads, and I don't necessarily get, well, when the line is, you know, 4.5 points and they play with a left-handed, red-headed quarterback that was born west of the Mississippi, I don't get into that per se, but stuff that kind of makes sense, and I'm going to give you one as far as a coaching trend that's going to be pertinent even, you know, coming up here in week one. And we all consider Nick Saban to be the best coach, or at least one of the best coaches that we've ever seen in college football. So when you have a really good coach, a great coach like Nick Saban, you give a guy extra time to prepare for a game, that would be the season opener. And Nick Saban just so happens to never have lost a season opener at Alabama. And you think, they haven't played really anybody. Well, they have. It's been a lot of neutral site games against ranked teams. And against the spread, he's only failed to cover one time against the spread. So he even achieves above expectations. So I guess when it comes to coaches, a lot of times I look at bowl records, how they do against the spread. How do they do with extra time to prepare? Urban Meyer was amazing with extra time to prepare. I'm talking in his career, like 70-plus percent against the spread with extra time to prepare. Those are the things that I really get focused in on, not so much, you know, their career overall record.
Well, and one other thing, and we'll just move on, but it also is a heavy favorite. That would be 28-plus, and you get a lot of those numbers in college football, never in NFL, obviously. But like Dan Mullen, as a 28 or more prohibitive favorite, 63%, Jimbo 62%, Sweeney 61%, Brian Kelly, your boy Brian Kelly there, 42%. Yeah, but I don't know that he's only been favored by that many seven times. But anyway, do you look at when, you know, like there's always that thought, well, Saban's not going to run it up, you know, that kind of deal. But he is 56% when he's a 28 or better favorite.
Yeah, so a lot of it's going to come down to sample size. I think you hit a big one there, like Brian Kelly. It's only been seven games. So, I mean, that to me is not a big enough sample size where you know, one ATS win or loss, it could swing multiple percentage points. I don't look at it per se there. Saban's interesting. So it might look good at 28 points, but if I recall, you upped that another touchdown because, I mean, Alabama's gotten so good that they're laying 28 in an SEC game now at this point. Where it starts becoming, you know, where he doesn't run it up is when he's laying like 35 or more. When he's playing Southern Miss or, you know, Louisiana Lafayette in a game he's laying 42. I remember the Georgia Southern game from several years back where they had to defend the triple option, you know, after like an LSU game where they really struggled. Those are the points that I'm looking to maybe possibly go against Nick Saban. But again, a lot of it's going to come down to sample size for me. When you're dealing with really huge point spreads, you know, sometimes, you know, they've only been in that spot, you know, 6, 8, 10 times.
Brad Powers with us. John, you could tell I've been waiting on those.
Yeah.
I had those questions ready.
Yeah, you did. Hi, Brad. It's John. I'm actually on the show today, too. How are you, pal? Brad, you knew this question was coming. Cam goes to the Patriots. What does that do for their win total, and how does that better their chances to win the AFC East? I think that puts them at or near the driver's seat. What say you?
I would say the public would say that they're now the clear favorite in the AFC East. I would say the wise guys are still looking at the Buffalo Bills as the favorite. So okay. What happened when that wall went down on Sunday, they took the Patriots off the board for pretty much the rest of Sunday just because they didn't want people taking advantage. And one guy did take advantage of, you know, Newton, the NFL MVP, was like 300-1, and he was able to get down, and now Newton's in that 40-50-1 as far as the NFL MVP.
Wow.
You know, Newton didn't change too much. So I'm using Caesar Sportsbook. You know, they've been pretty prominent as far as having odds up throughout this whole shutdown. Patriots went from 25-1 to 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. And that was Super Bowl odds. And then as far as the AFC, still clearly behind when it comes to the Chiefs and also the Baltimore Ravens. They've only went the Patriots with the addition of Newton 10-1 down to 9-1 to win the AFC. And a lot of the wise guys still think the Bills are the best team in that division.
Greg and I were talking about this the first segment. I think I've asked you about this before. You know, when you look at the AFC South, you know, we have a regular caller, Sal from Jersey, who just he dropped a pipe bomb on Colin Cowherd yesterday, or maybe it was early this morning. You know, Colin came out with his top 10 AFC quarterbacks, and Ryan Tannehill wasn't on the list. And our buddy Sal, he's a big Titans fan, and he just went off about that. You know, we just did, and we're probably going to do this later in the show, you know, who would you rather? And I asked, I said, who would you rather, Ryan Tannehill or Phillip Rivers, talking about the AFC South? He said Phillip Rivers, and I think I've talked to you about this before. I think Phillip Rivers is washed. I would take Ryan Tannehill over him in a heartbeat. But do you think a lot of the low win totals for the Titans are due to Tannehill, given the fact that they feel like what he did last year was basically just a one-off, just a aberration, if you will?
Yeah, great question. I think there is a little bit of doubt there, although, you know, I'm in agreement. I mean, we're not talking career, we're, you know, basing careers. We're talking about who's better right now at this point. And, there's a reason why the Chargers let the Phillip Rivers go. I would rather have Tannehill for 2020 than Phillip Rivers. I think that's some of it. I think the other part is, you know, there's an expectation that the Colts are going to be better in the division. It's a tough division outside of Jacksonville.
Right.
And Houston's right there. And it's not good. Let's be quite frank. And when it comes to Vegas wise guys, and when they're evaluating teams in the offseason, they look at, you know, how they got there last year. And let's face it, I mean, Tennessee wasn't on everybody's radar. They kind of snuck up and right. got a lot of people last year. They're going to be more on people's radar. It's not going to be a week where they overlook the Titans, a team that played in the AFC Championship game a year ago. But some of it, I don't think that's the biggest worry, though. I mean, if you look at QBR, I mean, he was in the top 10. So overall in the NFL, I'm not just talking AFC. I think some of it's schedule, and again, some of it's the division with the Colts getting better.
Well, and also with my thing with Rivers, if you judge him on what happened to him last year, he was hit more than any other quarterback in the league last year. So I look at the total wins in that division. I think it's Colts 9, Texans 8.5, maybe 8, and then the Titans 8.5, but all bunched together. I think those low numbers mean that everybody thinks that they're all just one as good as the other, and they're going to beat each other, so no one's going to really separate to get to that 10-win level.
Yeah, there's certainly that. Although, I mean, when you're coming up with season win totals, a lot of times, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if one of those three, you know, comes out and wins 11 games, but you're just not going to get power rated like that when it comes to the Vegas power rate. They all seem a little low. I mean, at least to the average Joe Q bettor is always wanting, that's why he's always wanting to bet over. I think there is, though, in this case, a lot of that. There's not, if you're going off, like, I'm going to use my power rating. So if you're asking me what's separating Indianapolis, Tennessee, and Houston, if we're lining them up and like Bill King likes to say, we're playing on a neutral field in Council Bluffs, Iowa, what's the difference? I have Indianapolis and Tennessee, pick them, on a neutral field right now in my power ratings. And I have both of them about a point and a half better than Houston. So not much separating the three teams.
Brad, what about the NBA? Adam Silver was pretty honest this week, basically saying, look, we're planning on going, but, you know, the virus is going to dictate whether or not we can keep it going or not. And he basically said, if we have to shut down, we'll have to shut down. Does that affect anything wager-wise out in Vegas?
Oh, I think a lot of this affects wager-wise. I mean, I haven't seen that. You know, big-time bets aren't necessarily coming in left and right, regardless of sport. You just haven't seen that much line movement because there's so much, you know, intangibles, variables that we've just never dealt with before. Sometimes, handicappers like myself love having a lot of variables and whatnot because if we feel that we can properly price it, then we feel like we can have a really good, you know, edge over the books. But in this instance, whoever was the favorite, and we're talking the Milwaukee Bucks, a lot of people like to talk the Lakers and the Clippers, but the fact that they're going to possibly have to play one another on that side of the division in the West, the Bucks right now, you know, I was shopping around the other day just seeing who the favorites were, and right now the Bucks would be the consensus favorite, slightly over the Lakers, and I think a lot of people would be surprised at that, but when it comes to,
I am.
I think when it comes to just overall what's going to happen, that's anybody's guess. It seems like we have a different narrative each. Every time I talk to you, I mean, there's weeks that I talk to you guys and I'm pretty confident that it's going to get played. And then we have a week like last week where now, I'm not sure that it's going to be able to get off and run.
See, I just think, like, you know, you got more and more players testing positive. and God forbid it, but if LeBron tests positive, they're shutting the whole thing down. They're not going to do this
the
without
LeBron.
The country
will shut down.
Exactly. As
the,
well
the,
they
the,
should.
The Western Hemisphere will shut down.
Brad, you may know this about me or not. I'm in the bag for LeBron James, so I fight the good fight for LeBron. But, you know, that's a significant factor. If LeBron or James Harden or Giannis or somebody comes down with this, Silver may just come out and be like, that's it, we're shutting it down.
That's an excellent point, because if there's any league that's star-driven, that's more on the players as far as a professional league, it's the NBA. And you're right. Any of those guys comes down with it, let's just say the chances of it actually going off without a hitch are slim and none right. at this point. Well, I don't see, really. And I even have, and I've been trying to be optimistic as all can be, but I mean, I even got some question marks about football at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's
so do I.
Yeah, I mean, there's a meeting going on this morning here about high school football may start at least 5 weeks later than it anticipated, if at all, or maybe even move it to spring. Who knows? With all of that. By the way, I was just reading your Twitter thing about Temple. Since 2007, you would have covered 62.5%. That's the best mark in the country. So for the next 14 years, I'm going to bet every Temple game, okay?
You're going to be rich.
Yeah, if you're expecting the same, I'll take that bet. I'll go opposite of that.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've heard that before. I'll hold whatever you want. You want to bring me? Yeah.
He
doesn't have a.
They've been under the radar. Sooner or later that gets out there. And when I tweeted it, a lot of people were surprised.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "Oh, let's bet Temple." And I'm like, "Ugh, I'll tell you what. I just wrote Temple. I'm not betting Temple this year. Let's just put it that way. I think they take a step back in 2020.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna keep up with Temple every game, and we'll see how they do against the spread this year.
Yeah, let's see. You know,
just for
a friendly,
a
friendly wager, I will wager that they go 50% or less this year against the spread.
All right.
And you want the over?
Right. Yeah, I'll take the over. Okay. And when you come here, I'll buy. And when I come out there, I'll just drive by and wave at you. So anyway.
Sounds good.
hey, Brad, tell the people how to get in
Greg's
touch.
Greg's dying over here. Brad, get your plugs in, my man, while Greg phlegms out over here.
Thank you.
Yeah, the website's bradpowersports.com. You click on the top of the page, the Bill King tab. A lot of free information when it comes to the NFL or college football. Hey, I stayed working during the shutdown. I had nothing else to do, so what I did was a ton of football prep. And there are bets. You can make bets out there, whether it be season win totals or if you're looking at possible the week one plays. There are some week one lines out in college football and the NFL. If you need all that information on those teams, you can get it for free right now. BradPowerSports.com. Click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page.
Thank you, Brad. Have a great fourth weekend. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
Of course, Bill King.
Take care.
Bill King every Friday, the 8 o'clock hour. Thank you, Brad.
Take care, guys.
Yeah. See you.